do something dangerous today, the only car you will manage, you will sow it as seed. See, Pastor Michael, he said, shouldn't people sow cars as seeds? They should sow for the right reasons. I remember there was a time Cosmo FM was blessing people so much through our way of success. I told my wife, that's before Cosmo FM went down. I said, even if we have to personally pay for this, that this as a family, it must never stop. It's blessing people too much. I could sell my car for that. Cosmo, I remember the first day I entered into Cosmo. One guy who was there now, he's now a GM of another radio station in another part of Nigeria. I just heard his voice. I said, I said, you're the guy on night. Yeah, like, you were looking at me like, yes. I said, sorry. I said, you normally introduce my program. I'm Pastor Banky. I remember very well. He had a pack of Benson & Hedges in one hand. When he heard Pastor Banky, he didn't know when he grabbed my hand, went on his knees and kissed my hand. It was a reflex. He didn't think about it. When I walk into Cosmo FM, all kind of testimonies I was hearing, the text messages they used to get and all of that. I told my wife, if nobody will help us in funding it, we have to. It's blessing people too much. Listen to me, I can sell my house for that. Are you getting my point? I remember once I heard a man preach, I was somewhere. I said, this kind of person should come back. That if money is a problem, I said, I will contribute to his flight ticket to come back. I will personally take care of his hotel bills and accommodate and feed him while he's around. That this kind of person should come around and preach more often. I can sell my car for that. But when you go and give your car as an offering, are you hearing what I'm saying? Because you have to be rich like Emeka. God will not tell you don't. He will collect the car. You will see before your eyes, somebody else will prosper with it. You won't get anything. Do you know why? Because you are walking outwardly when the work inside has not been done. The first work is remove envy and jealousy. You know what James said? You can ask God for anything and he will give it to you as long as it's not motivated by strife. You know, every time I preach, I get more blessed. There are many things I want to do in life, eh? Like I said, people say that this is a car that's befitting of a pastor. There's nothing like a car befitting of a pastor. That's rubbish. It's nonsense. A pastor is a person. If he likes a good car, let him drive it. If he doesn't, there's nothing about the office and car. I'm not ringing something. But I like good cars. This is the guy where he sees so. God could not have given birth to me in Europe. In UK, where they drive mini. You know, this kind of tiny mini. I said, did you sin? Why did they put inside a box like this one? Are you a sinner? I'm an American at heart when it comes to that. I love American roots. I love American cars. That's just me. And because of that, I knelt down and asked God for all kinds. God, give me any car as long as it's not short. I'm not explaining. That's me. I'm not trying to impress anybody. I'm not trying to do anything to anybody. I just like it. I told my wife one day I'll buy you a very big car and I'll put the number plate there, Mrs. B. Just drive it and be happy. It's the will of God. I'm not competing with anybody. I just like it. You know, I hate sports cars. I don't know why people go into cars that are very short. The interesting part, you see those small sports cars? Listen, a Ferrari goes for like €250,000 for one. The interesting part, I don't like it. That's where I'm going. It costs twice as much as an exclusive S-Class Mercedes-Benz. One Ferrari buys more than two S-600s. But if God placed two of them side by side and said, Banky, take one, I will take the cheaper car because that's what I like. No, I'm trying to explain something here. That you can like one thing and I like another. And on that premise, I go to God asking for anything. Please, I hope you're following what I'm explaining. Once there's no strife in my heart, God will do anything for me. I'm not doing it because, Ubonk has bought a car that's taller than me. I must buy one taller than his own. Listen, if strife and envy are your motivation, then you can give all the seeds you like. God will not reward you with anything. Because I told you, every field has its own proper seed. The seed on the earth, the physical earth, is corn, wheat, all right, sorghum, barley, all those kind of things. Cassava, yam. Spiritually, you cannot sow money. Money is not a seed in the realm of the spirit. In the realm of the spirit, the seed is the thing that's behind your heart while you are doing what you are doing. Are you getting my point? So a man say, I sowed 100,000. It doesn't enter into the realm of the spirit. You cannot sow 100,000. You can sow mercy. So your pastor announced that, please, we have to help the poor. We have the project next week to help some children, to help some people, to help this. And then you give towards that project. You know what you have sown? Mercy. Then it is acceptable according to what a man has. So a man that gives 100,000, and a man that gives 1 million, and a man that gives 25 naira, may all have given the same as far as God is concerned. Because the mercy is acceptable according to what he has. What God is measuring is what's inside his heart. What am I emphasizing? The work of God is first where? Inside. It's not outside. No, the work of God is not first outside. Therefore, when you go to church, your primary assignment is not there. We must clean the church. We must learn. Okay, we must walk. God, this is your work we are doing. There's nothing like that. The first work of God for the believer is the one that's been done in his heart. Last year, you were lying when you started going to church. Today, you are not a murderer. You should know you've been serving the devil. All this one has been amplifying his grace in you. How do you know whether you have been walking and walking for God? Last year, truth was hard to be found in your mouth. You used to tell things that God results, not the things that are true. But this year, you're not like that anymore. You have realized, all right, that all this are not necessary. You know, if you go and listen to our school of Bible exegesis, I taught a series then in Genesis, and I explained a principle concerning the life of Abraham. You know, I started by saying, talking about Abraham. That why did it take God 25 years to give Isaac to Abraham? I said, because it took 25 years to prepare Abraham for the reception of Isaac. Are you getting the point? So what do I mean by that? I explained then that Abraham, you see, God always demonstrated his personality to him. For example, God defended him while he was not there. A man took his wife, and yet God defended her while he wasn't there. And as soon as he left, he went and built an altar unto God. That is, God, I have discovered you. I hope you are getting my point. God, I have what? I have discovered you. This is the kind of person that you are. Listen to me. I said something to you before. No, okay, I said it earlier. That Abraham had to be developed to receive Isaac. Even his mistakes, God used it as part of his development. As an example, you know, the birth of Isaac was not the main issue. I hope you know that. The main issue was the sacrifice of Isaac. I hope you know. I don't have time to explain, but that was the main issue. God didn't give Abraham Isaac so that Isaac will be there. God gave Abraham Isaac so that Abraham will sacrifice Isaac one day. As a first taste of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Now, God, who was very, very wise, he said, we have to prepare Abraham for the sacrifice of Isaac. Listen to this. You know, Isaac was not the first son that Abraham sacrificed. You know that? He wasn't. He was the second. It's just that the first son was not the son of promise. And it's just that the second sacrifice had to be done by his hand, so it was more difficult. What am I saying? God trained Isaac in the sacrifice of his children. You don't get my point. When Hagar misbehaved and Sarah showed up and said, drive this girl and her son out of the house, I hope you know that it was a death sentence that was passed upon Hagar and Ishmael. Isaac let them go with just a bottle of water. Abraham, thank you. Abraham let them go with just a bottle of water. The Bible said that thing was grievous in his sight, except that God spoke to him directly about it. He was not willing to do it. It was his first test on how to sacrifice his children. And you know what God did? God now went into the wilderness, met with the lad and the mother, and showed them a well and preserved their lives. And Abraham was grateful to God. He knew that this boy was alive, because don't forget, they were the ones that came to bury him. Please, I hope you are following my point. What am I saying? God was training the man. So after some years, about 10 years or more after that, God now said, go on now, this time around, you are not driving this boy away. You will take him by your hand and you will go and sacrifice him. And this is the boy upon whom I have spoken a word, concerning whom I spoke a word, that in Isaac will your seed be. Now, let's see. What am I trying to say? God was training Isaac, Abraham, in all of these things. That's why the Bible talked about coming to a mountain, Mount Zion, where we meet with the spirits of just men that have been perfected. Are you getting my point? Therefore, the first work of God in your heart, in your life, is the work that he's doing on your heart. People want to go to church so that they can go and clean table and be pleasing to God. Believe me, cleaning of table is very good. You saw me today driving Collins out because he said, I came on time, I came at 5. I said, okay, which slaves do you live here that will arrange the place before you get here? That shows that I appreciate work. I did not set anything up here apart from give a few bits of counsel on how to do this and how to do that. If Onye is not standing there and Chris is not standing there behind the cameras, we won't have this thing filmed. Somebody clean the seats you are sitting on. People come early in the morning to mop the floor. I don't do that. I appreciate work. But believe me, that work is secondary to what God is doing in your heart. Listen, let me say categorically before I close. God does not reward you for what you do outwardly. He rewards you for what you do inwardly. God checks the heart. You want to work for God, then you have to get the motive right. The last thing I'm going to talk about is your personal ministry. The other things are the work of God I would mention along the line because we won't have time to develop them. But I'll talk about your personal ministry. Why are you doing what you are doing? Those are the things. For example, I preach not only because I have the zeal to preach, but I have discovered over time that I'm called to preach. I make a lot of sacrifices because of my sense of calling. Jesus went into a difficult time at the point in time. Things were tight. He said, what do I say? Father, deliver me from this hour. I said, but for this cause I came to this hour. These are the motivations. Are you motivated by this? They said, if you serve God, if you go to church regularly, then God will bless you too. You have a big car. It is car you are serving. It's not God you are serving. I told you, how do Christians receive from God? They ask. Ask and you shall receive and your joy will be full. You have not because you ask not. People say you have not because you give not. So people give so that they might get. That's why they've been entering into poverty. How do I get as a believer? I ask. If you've been coming around for our school of prayer, I've explained something. And the more I say, the more I believe it because it's true. Because when I say it, I'm hearing it also. That there's nothing I've asked God for because God has been helping me over time. My motives have been purified to a very large degree. I'm not saying it's perfect, so I keep on going on. And over some things I have checked, why are you asking for this, God? Because I just love it. I'm not competing with anybody. If the whole of Nigeria drives sports cars, I will drive a mountain of a car. I'm not competing with anybody. Now, I'm going to use an example. There are a lot of material things that my soul desires, and I've asked God for them. I believe there's none that will not come to pass. Listen, there's nothing I desire in this earth that I won't have. You know what he said? Ask for me, and I will give you the nations as an inheritance. There is something a man did to that level. Don't look at it as Jesus Christ. No, there's a place you get to in purifying your heart before God. That God will say to you, ask me for anything, and I will give it to you. That's not a joke. The first work of God is on the heart. That's why when you want to labor, your labor doesn't start outwardly. Listen. If people are always commending you concerning this work you are doing for God, be very suspicious. Probably are not doing anything for God. You know, be very suspicious. You probably are doing this for the commendation of men. That's why I personally have a rule. It's my personal rule. I'm not saying you can never go against it. I never, ever publicly declare what I want to give. It's my rule. You know what I said? It's my rule. I don't. It became a culture in Christianity. It's a bad thing. That's become our culture. And we need 700,000 naira quickly to pay for radio. Please, if you are giving 35, stand up. Let all of us see you. Let's see what you are doing for our father. You know, we say all those kind of things. Let's make an open show of the devil. Oh yeah, stand up. Openly show the devil that you can give. It's not necessary. No, personally, you can. If you ask for 10,000, I want to give 1,000,000. Who answer you? If you are spending too much time, I can send you a note. Say, boy, clear for more, come up for the money, don't complete. What am I saying? Because you see, what God is rewarding is what we do in the heart. So I'm very careful that you don't let men push. Because any time you jump up, listen to me, under such circumstances, because of pressure, because people will say that is this man, you didn't get up now, that kind of thing. Anytime you jump up for those reasons, you lose your reward. If you don't get up now, you know what they will say. You just lost your reward. What God rewards is what is done in the heart. I hope you are getting what I'm saying. Therefore, what do you do? Because you see, there's something David said, I kept on quoting it. He said, come you children, listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. You know what that means? There's a situation of heart you are in right now. It's not perfect. Therefore, what do you do? You draw near to the word of God. Last Saturday, I was preaching here. I didn't have enough time to go into detail about it. I said, there are two things that the word of God does. I said, number one, it transforms people, and then it transforms the environment. It creates outwardly. And I said that the one that creates outwardly is what the one that passes through the heart that has been transformed and uttered by the mouth from that heart of transformation. Then the environment hears it. Are you getting my point? Now, the first one is that transformation. What changes you so that you have the right motives in life? So that your heart does what is right is the word of God. One of the greatest blessings that God gave me many years ago was a book, Spiritual Leadership, by Oswald Sanders. And there's a chapter in that book. I saw it about 2 years ago in Enugu here. One old and tattered copy, I bought it. Because it was a blessing to me when I read it those days. It talked about the leader and his reading. That's one chapter in the book. I learned to read. I learned to discover the word of God. Let me say it again. Any Christian that is not captured by the word of God, that doesn't spend time, all right, interacting and romancing with the word of God, is one that is not working for God. You can outwardly walk all you want. That's why I take leave in December. I hope you know. That's how you'll be preaching morning, afternoon, and night. Oh, that Pastor Banky is anointed. Ah, man, when he's just preaching, man, I just get blessed. They don't know you are dying of slow. Every time you release, you know why Moses died? He was tired. You don't know that? I don't have time to explain it. I wrote an article on it, why God killed Moses. God killed Moses because the man was worn out. When he began to disobey God, it was a sign. God was, you know, I wish you would understand. There's what Pastor Chris Okote calls anthropopathism. He was quoting somewhere, right? Listen, sorry. So anthropopathism just means that when you are describing God using the traits of man in emotion, that is, and God was vexed, God was angry, and God regretted. We want to communicate the mind of God using human emotions. That's why you think God was angry with Moses. You know the truth? God was not angry with Moses in reality. God felt sorry for Moses that, oh boy, you are tired. When he said you went to the promised land, you know what God was really saying? I love you so much. If I leave you here, the Solomon that I left behind, you saw what he did. All right? You know, you understand what I'm going to explain. So God took Moses out because, you know, when you look at Aaron, he said, that Aaron self, Namugun, that Aaron self, is he a fool? Hey, that Aaron self, how can he go and build a calf for the people of God? Oh boy, when some wicked souls harass you continually and you don't have the strength of spirit, you will give them a calf if that's what they want. And we pastors are doing it till today. Do you know, let me just say this to help some people. Do you know a lot of pastors, they start doing anointing services. Meanwhile, they have no anointing to anoint anybody. Why? Because somebody, I'm telling you now, hey, I know these things. Don't forget I'm a preacher. You know why they do it? Because they heard that Winners Chapel does anointing service and they grew. They heard that human beings like anointing, so they start. I'm not saying anointing is wrong. Are you getting my point? But what the person is doing is not giving people what they want, not what he's called to give them. That's called building a calf. In New Testament, you don't have to go and look for a gold and kpako and a show and be molding something. No. Listen, once people as a preacher start dictating what you say, you are building a calf. He said, Pastor, people love all-night services. That's their problem. Pastor Banky loves to sleep all night. So do you get what I'm saying? You know, you're not going to drag me into something because you love it. And I was sent to go and minister to you. The man sent to minister collects his order from the man who sent him. Not the man he sent to. So when Aaron builds a calf, don't be angry with that guy. When the people from Egypt going into the promised land harasses you, you will build Malu. Shebi his calf he built. You will build a grown-up cow for them. The Lord is good. You know what am I going to explain? God saw Moses getting tired. The strength to withstand was depleting. That's why God looked. So the moment Moses made a mistake, God said, "See, I told you people, this boy is tired. This boy is tired. We draw him home." God loved him so much. When he wanted to talk, he said, even if Moses and Samuel were to pray for these people, God knew that Moses was an unusual praying type. Go and read Jeremiah chapter 15. God so highly honored Moses. When he wanted to send a message to Jesus Christ later, who did he send? Moses and who? Elijah. When he wanted to prophesy the coming of Jesus Christ, he said, I will send you another prophet like this one. That's Moses was speaking. That God will send you another prophet like myself. So God said, well, come. What am I going to say? Before God withdraws Pastor Bank, that is why I take time out to go and regather my strength. When I preach to you, I'm depleting. When I go and hear and pray and drink and read, I'm, you know, rejuvenating. And I wish believers will understand that life of God, if it's infused into you also by the word, it will have effect in businesses. It will have effect in careers. It's not just in ministry that it has effect. Therefore, as a child of God, before you rush out to go and work for God, and go and preach to the soul, lost soul. Be sure you are not lost yourself. Are you getting my point? Yeah, be sure you are not lost yourself. A lot of people are preaching to lost souls. They are totally lost. And you know, like I told you, God is dangerous. God will use them to deliver the lost soul and send a man to hell himself. If a donkey can talk, a human being can talk. Anointed talk, oh. The donkey spoke the word of God to Balaam. How much more when a human being, sinner or not, he can speak the word of God double that much to people. God sometimes moves independently of the vessel that is there, just does what he wants to do. So don't be confused at what God has been doing in your life. Or even through you. What you do is you go and settle down. Please, brethren. The teaching of the word of God is work. They asked Jesus, what must we do to work the works of God? He said, the work, the exercise, the labor of God is that you believe. In Hebrews, he said, labor to enter into his rest. Seeing that many could not enter because of what? Unbelief. That it is labor to have faith. You get what I'm saying? Labor to have faith. Let me give you practical tips. Reading is the work of God. You must read. I mean the gospel. Listening to messages is the work of God. Yesterday I said something that God can deliberately make sure you are broke the day this seminar is starting to check whether you will agree to trek. You don't know that? God wants to show. Let's see how much this guy loves this thing that we're talking about. Let's see. He will make sure you are broke. Because the work of God is first inside. It is not outwardly. The first work is inside. Let me close. There's plenty of confusion in the body of Christ today. We exalt outward activity I like one thing Bishop David Abioye said once. I went to Winner's Chapel. He said, activity is the killer of sensitivity. A lot of people are so busy, God can't talk to them. No new revelation, no new understanding. Their life is not improved. No, when I say life improved, I don't mean whether you bought a new car or you have more money now. I'm talking about the progress of your soul, the progress of your spirit, how you are being built up in Christ. He said the remnants of the house of Judah shall first take root downwards, and then they will bear fruit upwards. I think that's Isaiah 37. It's the taking of root downward we are talking about. He said the waters made them grow, talking about the cedars in Lebanon. He said the deep made them high. The height that a man will grow to in life outwardly is determined by the depth of water he has sunk his roots into. People like to play church. The more the activities, the more they think they are pleasing God. And a lot of pastors know how to enslave people with activity. They get your commitment through activity. Paul said, I have desired to expose you to none other than Christ himself. Please, I hope you are following what I'm saying. Don't let anybody make merchandise of you. So running up and down, claiming you are serving God when you have not settled to know the person you are serving. He said, this is eternal life, that they will know you. The knowledge of God is the primary thing in the life of the believer. Until your life has been transformed through the entrance of his word, you can't work for him. 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 Even in natural human circles, can you appear before a high court judge claiming to be representing somebody when you have not been called to bar? You hear your brother's about to have a surgery. He said, who's the guy? He said, he's a neighbor. It's one guy. That who's doing the surgery? He's the guy. He's a tailor next door. But he's very, very, he loves that guy so much. We think he can do the surgery. Won't you rush in there with Mopo and come and free your brother from death that's about to take him? That is, except the man is professionally qualified, there are certain jobs don't let him do. In the same manner, except God looks at you and says, you have been qualified, there are jobs he doesn't accept you to do for him. That man who came that day was speaking with me. I said, you can go to all the Bible schools you want. You can't work for God. You don't know him. God has not called any man to work for him. He has called every man to be built up in Christ. And the work of God will come out of them naturally. Are you getting my point? The first work that God has called you and I to is a work that is done inwardly, not outwardly. Once the inward one is perfectly done, the outward one will come out automatically. Without struggle, without begging, without harassment, it will just flow out of you. And you will discover that serving God is easy. And that's when you begin to experience what I've been preaching, grace flowing through you. Listen, God does not accept any labor from your hands, except it is oiled by his grace. That's how God is. Before he takes Isaac from Abraham, he gives him Isaac. Do you get my point? That's how God is. First thing he does is to put his grace inside you. I'll talk about that tomorrow. It has to do with your calling, your ministry. It's what God's grace brings forth from your hands, out of your life, out of your heart, that is acceptable as an offering before him. I will develop that last statement tomorrow. I hope you've learned something today. Have I said anything that will bless you? If that's the case, just bow down your head. Let's just give the Lord thanks. Just say, Father, I thank you for your liberating word. Say, Lord, I thank you for your liberating word. Say, Lord, I thank you for the word of liberty. Say, Lord, I thank you for that word of liberty. Say, Lord, I thank you for the word of liberty. Say, Lord, I thank you for the word of liberty. Say, Lord, I thank you, because you are liberating me by this word. They said, the righteousness of your testimonies, they are everlasting. Give me understanding and I shall live. The life that you are giving me, Lord, by these words, I thank you for it. Let it come out, oh Lord, and manifest in my life. Give me understanding and I shall live. Lord, help me to know you. Help me to understand you. Give me a heart that runs after the knowledge of you, not just outward motions. Say, Lord, cleanse me. Check my heart. Is there any hurtful thing in there? expose it, Lord. I will confess it and you will cleanse me thoroughly.